Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome into Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. You can first catch us here on the station each Tuesday from 1 or shortly after as a podcast. Just ask your smart speaker or smartphone to play the latest episode of RNIB Tech Talk. Of course, this is our opportunity each week to get together as blind and partially sighted people and explore the world of technology. We're always delighted to hear from you. If you'd like to get in contact, our email address is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, I'll be reporting from RNIB's Technology for Life Fair that took place at the Europa Hotel in Belfast. We'll be hearing from some of the suppliers, exhibitors, organisers and guests at the event and learning why these events are so important for us as blind and partially sighted people. So stick around, it's another Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Hubert Pavalkovich, Callum Stoneman, chaps. Good to have you with us. Let's see what's grabbing your attention in the world of technology this time. Hubert?
There's a new competitor to my favourite live score football app called Flash Score. Apple have launched their own sports app.
Ah, yes. I've been hearing about this. Apparently it works quite well with Braille displays. I saw a message from Scott Davitt, who's a deafblind Braille user, and he loves using Braille with that app. But does it give you live scores, Hubert? This is the big question. Are you able to find out each time Chelsea concede a goal?
Well, this is the thing so far. The one thing I've not gotten from it is live notifications.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
The only thing I haven't yet gotten is notifications from the app about the favourite teams that I have selected. Now, I believe I've turned on notifications for this app, but that is something I'll have to check. But so far, it looks pretty decent. I think it needs... I'm not sure if it supports all of your major leagues. I know it supports kind of your main European ones and MLS, but I'd be curious if it begins rolling out support for more sports and leagues as it develops. I presume it will.
Right, okay. So hopefully one to watch, maybe a little bit early at the moment. Notifications, more sports, things like that. Of course, the Formula One season now underway. You know, there are fans of that. And
yes, excited for that.
Yeah. Now, Callum, what's grabbing you?
A couple of things this week. First off, I'm coming to you from a brand new laptop, which is always nice. After 10 years of being on the Mac, I've finally made the move. I'm back on the Windows side.
And what are the reasons for that? Are they accessibility related, or you just fancied a change?
Sort of, yeah. I just found that because I've moved to a new job recently. I'm still at BT. But I'm no longer working in the accessibility team. I've gone back to my roots in network designing and engineering. We're using Windows on a daily basis. And I've been using that for the last couple of months and just realised it's especially web browsing is just... I'm not going to get into the whole Apple versus Windows and NVDA versus VoiceOver and all that. But I'm just finding things like web browsing and emails is just so much smoother on Windows. And I've had my eye on a new laptop for a while. My Mac has needed a bit of an upgrade. And, you know, I've just been sort of keeping my eye on some deals. Obviously, cost is important as well, especially with with a baby on the way. So, yeah, I've just gone with a Lenovo laptop. It's not the latest. Well, it is the latest model, but it's not the latest and greatest, all singing, all dancing, but it will do the job, and it's working very nice.
I put Windows on a MacBook Pro back in the day when it was the Intel processors in those devices. I think now with the new Apple M series chips, that's a little bit trickier.
Yeah, it is. So you can use a virtual machine with some tinkering and some playing around. I've not really dug into that. Mine is an Intel Mac, and I was running Windows on that with via Bootcamp, which is where you can, when you boot up, you've got the choice of, you know, do you want to boot into Mac OS or into Windows? And that works all right, but really you're not running Windows in an environment where it was designed to run, so it doesn't run as nicely as it could do. I'm still going to keep the Mac around because it still works and there's still some brilliant, really interesting apps on there that I want to keep an eye on. We spoke about Type Ahead last week, so I'll still be keeping the Mac, but yeah, I'm enjoying this so far. Also, something else from me this week, I don't want to take over, but I noticed this, and I don't know if this is new or if I've just completely skipped over this, but on Be My Eyes, I was using Be My AI the other day, and I spotted that there's a more button on the at the top of the conversation. And if you press that, there's a share icon, and you can basically share a link to your Be My AI chat so that then people can see you're only sharing a snapshot of your chat, so you can't have someone follow the conversation, but you can share a link to your chat and that someone else can see the messages and the images that you've sent and the responses that you've had as well, which I thought was really cool.
Yes, and of course, seeing AI also provides a bit of access to ChatGPT as well. On some of the channels, there's a more info button, and you can get more detail and have a little bit of a conversation there. So let us know, how's it going with the AI apps? Are you making that part of your accessibility toolkit? Have you changed platform recently and switched from Windows to the Mac, or maybe in the other direction? Maybe you're somebody who's gone from Apple to Android or Android to Apple. We'd be interested to hear about that journey, those experiences. How have you found it? Do let us know. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. It's TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum Hubert, thanks very much. Welcome in. It's Tech Talk. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Belfast, and I'm with Jolene from Empathize. And, well, Jolene, why don't you tell listeners what is Empathize?
So, Empathize is a visual impairment simulator. It's using the advances in technology with virtual reality. So, we have virtual reality headset, and we're able to layer in different vision impairment acuity. We're able to layer in different levels of vision impairment.
Right, but this is not just like a sort of a generic, like, oh, this is what macular degeneration might look like. It's much more bespoke than that.
So we have two different types. So we can have it as specific for each individual. So we can lock it down to someone's specific diagnosis and their specific acuity. We can layer in different photosensitivity, different fields of vision, and the likes of even the weather and the impact that that can have for someone. And that's very much around supporting someone with a vision impairment for their carers, their family, to appreciate that level of vision impairment that person has.
Right, because often that can be a difficult transition if somebody suddenly loses a significant amount of eyesight, or maybe if they've got additional disabilities. It's helpful for those around to have some understanding of what they are experiencing.
Absolutely. And that's what we find with someone with more complex medical conditions. The priority or the focus is quite often on the medical side, and the vision isn't appreciated or it isn't understood the same. So actually with the VR headset, what we're able to do is to allow the carer to fully empathize with that level of vision that the person has. But what we're also aiming to do with the VR headset is to provide much more training and awareness. So for the likes of hospitality, for large corporate organizations, that they would have a much better understanding of a visual loss. Now, that particular type won't be as specific, but it will allow that vision impairment awareness for companies who are potentially seeking to employ someone with a vision impairment, or the likes of hospitality, restaurants, hotels. It's empowering everyone really to have a full understanding of a vision impairment and what that person may see.
Wow. And so this virtual reality headset, do you have to connect it to to something else to make it work, or does it, is it a standalone? Can you sort of give us a physical description of the product?
So we use the Pico 3 VR headsets, and that links in with our mobile device, which has all of our software contained. It links in through our own TP, so there's no necessity for linking into Wi-Fi. It has its own local area network, and that's how it works. So the mobile device and the software is locked into the mobile device, and it would be manipulated and layered to the specific type of vision impairment.
So you have to have the complete system. You're not developing software here. It's actually the whole package, the mobile device, the headset and the software kind of rolled together as one package.
At the moment, if you speak to me in 3 months, Dave, it may be different.
Right.
So we do, we are looking at developing the software that would be standalone. So someone may have their own headsets, and our software would simply complement that. And we are looking at a different training system that is locked down to the World Health Organization. So mild, moderate, and severe visual acuities. But that's in our development stage. That's not what we have here today.
And Sarah joins us now. How do you measure the sort of the performance and the accuracy of a system like this? I know as a blind person, when somebody puts on some sim specs, right, that's not me.
No.
That's not what I experience,
no.
Right? So,
and I suppose, you know, there's always going to be an argument to say that we all see differently. I mean,
yep.
So I have 20/20 vision, but I may see the room and remember the room very differently from others. And we never, I suppose what I should say is our training is delivered by eye clinicians. So it is in the context of being in the hands of a clinical partner. So when we deliver training, that is the narrative that we say this is only ocular defects. We can only replicate them by going to our clinicians who are experts in their field, and they have a lot of experience. So they have worked with myself and the software team to ensure the calibration is as good as it can be. We can never say 100% that we are going to replicate anybody's eye condition. As I say, we all see the world in different ways and we all process the information in different ways. But what we can do is give a good, you know, clinical representation of ocular defects. But that is always caveated with this is only as good as the software can deliver. If that makes sense. So it is we've calibrated it along World Health Organization calibration, and as I say, we've worked really closely with the clinical team. That was really, really important to us, that we had the clinicians on board and they see it as a useful tool. But and again, when we do our parent sessions showing what perhaps children see, it is delivered by a very specialist eye clinician who goes through the clinical information, is able to calibrate the software, but again, it is that narrative. But we definitely have the penny drop moments where people can recognise maybe some of the behaviours that may be associated, or why maybe children don't like certain areas and things. One of the big things that comes back to us is the software can demonstrate photosensitivity, and light is an easy thing to fix for a lot of people, but it's something that maybe isn't always considered.
Where are we in terms of the roadmap, the product sort of journey then? Is this commercially available now?
Yes. So we deliver training to all the health trusts here in Northern Ireland and our regional colleges. That's about raising awareness. So it's CPD accredited. It's all been written by clinicians and habilitation workers. So we're very confident that it's a good delivery model that we're going out with to improve services. So that's for our adults that we're delivering that, and we have sold into the US and Europe. We're about to sell into Europe. So we are at the moment, the kits are only for sale with the right person behind the steering wheel, i.e. an eye clinician or an academic that knows, because it has been written for clinicians, it hasn't been written for lay people. So you do need clinical knowledge, but we're just going through our latest software development phase, which will which will enable anybody to pick up the headset and have a clinical training session delivered through the VR without actually having to have the clinician standing beside them.
Thank you so much for your time and for answering our questions. It's a fascinating concept and I'm really intrigued to follow very closely how this one develops. How can listeners learn more?
They can go to our website, which is www.empathisevision.com, and there's a contact form on there, and that gives there's videos and information there on our product at the moment. So yes, we're really keen to hear from lots of different people about the product.
That's empathisevision.com, and of course it's empathise, E-Y-E-S,
in empathise.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Brilliant. I know, right?
It's all about the eyes.
It is indeed, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, I really appreciate both of you, Jolene and Sarah, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Brilliant,
thank you.
Making technology accessible. Tech Talk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Belfast, where we are at the Technology for Life Fair, and I'm with Shauna from Sight and Sound. Welcome in. I think this is the first time we've spoken on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you, and it's always brilliant when I find colleagues working across the assistive technology sector who actually walk the walk as well. You know, you're a guide dog user. You mentioned to me there just before we started recording, you use Zoom text yourself. So you're eat, sleep, breathing this stuff.
Absolutely. It's without all this, I wouldn't be working. I wouldn't be mobile. So technology, I can honestly say, is an absolute central, vital part of my daily life.
As I think it is for many of us who are blind or partially sighted. Let's talk about Sight and Sound and some of the products you've got on show today. What is new with Sight and Sound?
So what's new in Sight and Sound? We are incredibly proud of the WeWalk Smart Cane. It's been incredibly popular amongst a lot of our customers and end users. So just for anyone who is not familiar with it yet, it's your long cane, your mobility cane, with the audible features built in. So you've audio cues, which would consist of audible beeps and vibrations. So when the person is approaching obstacles at ground and sort of chest level, you will hear the beeping and you will feel the vibrations when you're holding the cane also. So it gives a good fair warning when obstacles are coming up, and it's advanced mobility, significantly so for many of our customers here. And we also have the Envision glasses, so we can expect some great things from Envision, great things to come there. The most significant of which would be the describe scene feature is much more advanced, and we also look forward to the release of the Ask Envision feature, which is still in beta, but it's promising to be a great add-on to these already fantastic AI-powered smart glasses, which have improved daily life for immensely for many of our customers also. So
AI just keeps giving and giving, doesn't it? It is, you know, rarely does a week go by when we don't hear about AI making its way into another product. For those who've not used the Envision glasses, this is a kind of like a wearable camera, is it?
That's correct. It's basically it's a hands-free solution for text-to-speech. So you wear the glasses, and there's a little camera attached to the lens of the glasses. Mm-hmm. So one of the most common features of this would be the scan text feature. So you would put the glasses on, then you would give, like using a virtual assistant like Siri or Alexa or any of those, you would give the glasses the command, for example, scan text. You would say scan text whilst holding down the voice control button on the lens. And then your text would be instantly captured and it would read the text back to you. So quite incredible. It does similar things as I already mentioned with describe scene, and it's become much more detailed in recent times as well with how much it can describe and how much detail it can give about objects in your surroundings. And this once again has had a positive effect on many of our customers' mobility. if they've had any mobility issues in the past, they would have been dramatically improved with these new features coming along. So it's been fantastic.
And what are you hearing today from visitors here in Belfast? It's been quite a busy day, hasn't it, at the Europa Hotel, where hundreds of people have come through the door to get hands-on with some of the assistive technology on show. What is it that people visiting Sight and Sound are asking about?
As I already mentioned, there's a flurry of interest in our smart cane, which is sitting here beside me. When it's mentioned, when they ask what we have on display, when the smart cane is mentioned, they instantly stop me in my tracks and be like, oh my God, what is that? That sounds really exciting, you know? And also our accessible phones here, we've had a great flurry of interest in those. In particular, because they are also speech-enabled and they have that really fantastic holy trinity of having your smartphone features, your tactile keypad for the touch element, and also the speech built in. So it's like an all-in-one solution for, it has a little bit of everything, and which it tends to suit a lot of our customers. So feedback on what we have to offer has been positive all around.
Let's just wind it up then. We've got a bit of competition, I think, in the background. Yeah. So just give us the website. I'm sure people are familiar with it anyway.
For more information, yes, we would recommend for UK, we recommend sightandsound.co.uk. For our Irish customers, we sightandsoundtechnology.ie. So we recommend, yes, please do go on the website, have a browse, and feel free to get in touch with us. If there is anything that you have specific interest in, and we'll see what we can do to help. So any questions, queries, just get right in touch. Our contact details are on the website also.
Shauna from Sight and Sound, thanks so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Belfast at the Technology for Life Fair. And one of the reasons that blind and partially sighted people have been joining us at the Europa Hotel throughout the day is to visit our tech surgery. And I'm joined by Christine and Jason, who have been running the show. So Christine, just explain a bit about the tech surgery.
So the tech surgery is here so that anyone attending the fair can come along and get help with their own device, or if they've got any questions about technology, or indeed they just have a mild interest, they can come and talk about it, because we're not selling any particular thing. We'll just talk about any accessible technology, any assistive technology that they want to know about.
And Jason, you're a volunteer here in Northern Ireland, and you help answer some of those technology related questions. How did you get involved?
I had spare time and I wanted to put back on, I wanted to be able to put back and help people, put something back into the world rather than taking. And I found out about RNIB and Technology for Life, and I thought that was a perfect fit, because I've been involved with technology all my life. Electronics from 8 years old and through to computers 40, 50 years ago. Well, 40-something years ago. So it's a perfect fit, really. And even though I say so myself, I'm quite a good teacher. It's putting all the things together and being able to guide people, pass some of the knowledge on, but pass it on at the speed that they can take it in. And a lot of it's being able to inspire confidence in people so they're not afraid to push the buttons.
And before you started volunteering for RNIB, had you much contact with blind or partially sighted people?
No.
So it's been a learning curve?
Oh yes, very, very much so, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's still one of those things that as a sighted person, you can never ever really appreciate what it's like. And you know, you close your eyes for a few minutes and it's just a few minutes. It's not a lifetime of not being able to see clearly. So I've got a better grasp of it now.
I'm thinking about some of those technology questions that you're going to get asked about, magnification or screen reading. It's quite a niche thing, really. Christine, just tell us about some of the questions that you've had today then, people coming in. You said to me before we started recording, you've had all sorts.
Yeah, well, we've had people, obviously lots of people got phones with them because everybody takes a phone with them everywhere, but we've had Apple and Android phones, and people just asking, you know, about what apps they might be able to use or changing the size of their font or things like that. We've had questions about televisions, you know, what kind of television should I get if I want it to use it like this, like, you know, to be able to use the Alexa with a TV, for example. Right down to someone brought their talking alarm clock. So Jason helped out with that, didn't you, Jason?
So what happened there, Jason? Talk
yes,
us through
I,
that.
Yes, I had to Google it. Well, I tried to Google it and I got the instructions, but they didn't have any illustration of what the buttons did. So I did what I always do and or usually have to do, and it's to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. And once I figured it out myself, I was able then to show the customer how to use it. As I say, the instructions weren't much help without an illustration of what where the buttons were, because the buttons didn't have anything written on them. But we got there in the end.
Yeah. And what else have you dealt with today, Jason? There was the alarm clock.
The alarm. Well, I was the one that mentioned the Alexa television. Mm. This lady said that she didn't like... She had to get her mother to help her push the buttons on the remote control sometimes. And I told her about the Alexa, having Alexa on the television or using Google on the television and being able to get it to change channel and volume and search for things. She had no idea that that was possible.
Yeah.
So we got Alexa up on a phone and let her try it. And I think she's quite convinced, and now she'll be off to Curry's this evening to go and buy one.
I think those of us that use technology and embrace technology sometimes need that reminder that actually not everybody is aware that you can control your TV with your voice.
No, that's right. I don't even think people know that they can control their phone with a, you know, even most of the basic phones, you can ask it to call people and they have no idea they can do that.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for this invaluable service today. Do you think it's something you're likely to repeat in the future, Christine?
Yeah, I mean, we do actually have technology hubs all around the UK where people can make an appointment with volunteers just like Jason, as well as our home visiting volunteers. And we have volunteers also help over the phone. But definitely, I think having people coming for an event like this, having a place where they can actually come and get some troubleshooting done at the same time, it just, you know, it's another tick for them, isn't it? So definitely be here for people needing help when they need it.
And if someone's listening and thinking, actually, do you know what, I could do what Jason's done, I've got some technology experience and background, maybe they could volunteer, what's the best way to do that?
Just get yourselves to our RNIB website, rnib.org.uk /volunteering, and you can browse our many opportunities, but you can filter it by technology, so do that first, and it'll show you all of the different technology roles that you can do in your area.
Excellent. And if anybody has got a technology problem or question, you're not getting any joy maybe from the manufacturer or the supplier, or they just want to talk to somebody, how should we contact you?
Just definitely through the RNIB helpline 0303 123 9999 and ask for Technology for Life, and someone will give you a call back and you'll get your help.
Jason, Christine, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
And we'll be hearing more from the Technology for Life Fair in Northern Ireland throughout the show. So Dave, you were there for us last week. How was it? It sounds like it was... this is the first time we've really done this, and it sounds like people were really enjoying it.
Absolutely, particularly in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, where, you know, they don't get many Site Village events. There aren't many things like this, and I know Jackie Brown has really, you know, been flying the flag to try and bring this to fruition with support from the team there in Northern Ireland. Fantastic event, lots of exhibitors, lots of visitors. They ran out of tote bags within the first 40 minutes, and I think 400 odd people came through the door, which, you know, if you're in London, that might not feel like a big number, but in Belfast, it really is a big number. The venue was fantastic as well, very accessible, level access from the street through to the room where the exhibition was held. Lots of volunteers ready, willing and able to help, and people going to extraordinary lengths actually to get there, just to be there. One chap, Michael, who is a regular Tech Talk listener, he travelled all the way from North Yorkshire.
Oh wow. Was there anything particularly special about this event though, to especially for someone to go all that way? I mean, it sounds to me like I get a bit of a site village kind of vibe listening to some of these pieces. It sounds like Site Village has come to Northern Ireland.
Yes, a little bit like that. So Sight and Sound were there, Vision Aid, Dolphin, Humanware, you know, the usual suspects, Synaptic, Real Thing, you know, people who we know and feature on Tech Talk on a regular basis. But there were some standouts. I think the McGonagall Reader, which is an accessible voting device, we haven't really seen that very much previously. I know that RNIB have been doing some work there to make voting more accessible, and the McGonagall Reader will be in some constituencies in the local elections in May. We also heard about Empathize, which is a bespoke simulation tool to use an individual's medical data to really show their friends and family and stakeholders what their particular eye condition might look like. So those are local organisations that are in Belfast. You know, we perhaps don't see them at other events. Angel Eyes are a parent-led organisation, so parents of visually impaired children, they were there as well. So, yeah, couple of different things that we don't normally encounter. And then, of course, from those familiar names, I was interested to get hands-on with Annie, for example, which is a learning tool for Braille from Humanware. So Humanware have got this, it's a standalone unit, a very chirpy voice, as you often get on products that are designed for children, and lots of ways in which you can learn Braille on this device. I managed to get embroiled in this. They had a game on there called Whacker Braille, and you have a 6-dot Braille cell, and the machine would shout out dot two, and then you would bang down dot two, you know, and it was how many can you do in 30 seconds sort of thing.
How competitive did you get with that?
A little bit. But, you know, on a serious note, we need more ways for people to read, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's important for, you know, there were children visiting the event who, you know, are partially sighted or blind, and, you know, they need different ways to read. Audiobooks are brilliant. Large print is brilliant. But also there are people for whom, you know, Braille is the best option. Sometimes audio can mean that you miss out on what's happening in your environment. You don't always hear what's happening around you if you're listening to something. So having multiple ways to read, it's so important for us as blind and partially sighted people that we have those reading choices.
Let's kind of think of the impact of this event kind of had in the future. You know, it would be great for this to be a regular event in Northern Ireland to cover that sort of area of the world. How likely do you think it is for this event to be more regular?
This was a proof of concept, I think, but I hope that by having the footfall that we had in Belfast demonstrates that there clearly is an appetite. And so I hope that partner organisations can come together and we can find a way to make this not just a one-off.
Okay, well, a fantastic event. Stick around, we've got loads more from it. This is Tech Talk.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This is Dave Williams in Belfast at our Technology for Life Fair.
And I have travelled here from Worcester, and you come all this way to Belfast, and lo and behold, you meet somebody else from Worcester. I'm joined by Oliver Crane, who works with Dolphin Computer Access, who, of course, we know makes Supernova, Guide, and Easy Reader, through which we can access our talking books. Oliver, welcome into RNIB Connect Radio. It's been quite busy.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been an incredible start, really. I'm just very impressed by, the organisation, by Jackie as well. She reached out to me a few months ago, and she was very sort of unaware of what would happen and how many people would turn up. But it's been really, really great. The footfall's been fantastic, and as you can probably tell, I've almost lost my voice. Yeah, it's been really good so far.
They've had hundreds of people through the door so far. And tell us, from a Dolphin point of view, what are customers asking you about today?
So I think the majority of the people have been speaking to me today about Easy Reader. Because obviously Easy Reader is a free app that we have, and we work alongside yourselves with RNIB to connect people with reading services and Bookshare to give people the free access to those accessible books. Is what people have been talking to me most about.
Now, many Easy Reader users getting their books on their iPhones, but it's not just about iPhone, is it? You can get Easy Reader on other devices as well.
Yep, exactly. So iOS, Android, and also obviously if you're running Windows, you can run the free version of Easy Reader. But obviously we have since recently launched Easy Reader Premium, which is something that I've been trying to discuss with a lot of people today.
All right, so let's talk about that. So the standard Easy Reader experience, you can access accessible libraries, including RNIB reading services, thousands and thousands of full-length unabridged audiobooks and other books there to download. But what is the premium service?
So in a nutshell, the premium version has a few unique selling points. So one of the main ones is it's been able to sync your devices together. So if you have your login details and you have your books on one device and you want to, say, for example, go from your iPad to your iPhone, if you were to open up Easy Reader on one or the other device, it wouldn't save your personal reading settings, it wouldn't save where you are in the books, it wouldn't save your login credentials. Whereas if you have Easy Reader Premium, it would do all of those things for you. So if you were to go over from your iPad, for example, to your Windows computer, you'd have your books there ready to be re-downloaded, and it would save your place and your reading settings for you.
Excellent. So it's saving your preferences, what, things like playback speed, stuff like that?
Playback speed, font size, the formatting of how you've done it with PDFs and to text view, your voices that you use, whether it be, specific to Fiona, Daniel, it'll save all that for you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And so you're showing Easy Reader. Mm-hmm. That's obviously the main kind of point of interest from a visitor point of view. What else have you got here today?
So another thing I just wanted to touch on with Easy Reader Premium is you're able to now bring in documents, whether that be PDF or Microsoft Word documents. So if you've got the premium version, you'll be able to open them up in your reading settings as well. So, if you're using it on your Microsoft laptop, for example, you can pull in a PDF and have it read back to you. You weren't able to do that with the free version. So the other thing we're looking at today, obviously, is Guide Connect, something that we worked on really hard recently to get some new features out. Again, with PDF documents, being able to read out PDF documents, being able to fill in PDF documents. So you'll be able to open it up and then put your name and address and things like that in there.
Often PDF, it has some of us as blind people running for the garlic because not all PDFs are created equal, as we know.
Definitely.
Do those PDFs have to be accessible, or are you guys doing any clever things behind the scenes to make them more accessible?
So we try our best to make them as accessible as possible. So as you know, our software will be able to read what's as an image, it will be able to read the text. It will be able to differentiate if there is an actual text box in there. So if there's if it's a PDF document from a doctor's where you actually have to fill in information, Guide will be able to read that what's on the screen, and then you'll be able to listen where the text box is, fill in the text box, move on to the next text box, fill it in, and then move on, for example, and then send it back.
Alrighty. And Guide, of course, it's the more straightforward interface, isn't it? It's a menu-driven approach for those people who perhaps don't want the full Windows experience.
Exactly. So anyone who's not using Microsoft applications on a day-to-day basis, you know, maybe someone who just needs the entry-level computing, so for example, just your emails, searching the web, you know, having something that's very easy to use, your scanner, for example. It's got the built-in OCR in there as well for letters, so you can take pictures of those as well. It's got a built-in video conferencing software. So for example, if you've got anyone else who uses Guide Connect, you can connect with that, as well as people at home. They can connect on our Dolphin website, and if they're online at the same time, you can do video conferencing. And then obviously we've got Supernova.
And Supernova, of course, still going strong all these years later. Yeah, yeah. What version are you on now, Oliver?
So we are currently on version 2204. And we're looking to release 2301 in March, so in the next couple of weeks. Really looking forward to that.
Are you able to share anything about what we can expect in Supernova?
To be honest, I think the most important thing we've had from our end users is the magnification and the speech functions within web applications. So that's what something that Supernova has been struggling with, and I think a lot of other companies have been, because a lot of people are now using their own bespoke web applications, which can be very difficult to make accessible. So that's something that we've worked on really hard with this version. So particularly our magnification is improved within those web applications.
And if you've still got the free demo available, so if anyone hasn't taken Supernova for a spin for a couple of years and they want to just check it out again, can we still download a free demo to test it out?
Yes, absolutely. So if you head over to our website, you can go on to Supernova and download anything from magnification, speech and screen reader. All the different editions are on there. And then you'll probably get a phone call from myself or one of the sales team to just let you know how you're getting on. So we're happy to answer any questions that you have within that 30 days. And obviously we are a little bit flexible within that 30 days as well. So if you needed an extra 30 days, you would just reach out to us and we're happy to extend that for you and make sure that you're comfortable with the software.
Excellent. Well, Oliver, Thank you so much for your time. Just let everyone know how to get in touch with Dolphin.
Absolutely. So my details is oliver.crane@yourdolphin.com. The main main inbox is info@yourdolphin.com, or you can contact us directly on our telephone number, which is on the website as well, yourdolphin.com.
Okay. Oliver Crane from Dolphin. Thank you so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Belfast, where we're at the Technology for Life Fair 2024. As blind and partially sighted people, accessible voting is never far from our minds. Many of us will, of course, be familiar with the accessible voting device, the tactile template that you can find at your polling station on voting day. And, of course, with a general election looming, I'm sure this topic will be front and centre once again. I'm joined by Patrick from PacFlat.
Yes, PacFlat.
There we go. We got that right. So just tell me what you understand as being the issues, because I'm a blind voter, and when I go to cast my vote, I'm trusting that somebody at the polling station is giving me accurate information about the names of the candidates, and also that they have the correct template and that they're fitting that properly to the ballot paper, and that when I cast my vote, that it is a valid vote and that it will be counted. There's lots of opportunities for things to go wrong, isn't there? So tell me how you've tackled some of those issues.
Well, the first thing we want to address is that when the ballot paper is attached to the McGonagall reader, that it's the right way up and it's not back to front, it's not upside down. So we encourage the presiding officer poll clerk team, and there's a tutorial embedded in the system to help them to do that. The next thing that we try to address is giving the blind person a mental picture of what's on the ballot paper. So, for example, we'll tell you what the election's for. So, for example, election to the Northern Ireland Assembly. We'll tell you what the voting system is. So it's vote for as many or a few candidates as you like. Put a one in the box opposite your first preference, two, three, and so on. Then we address then some of the concerns that have come back to us from blind people who have said to us, well, look, it could work perfectly well, but when I go home, I may have the nagging doubt that maybe the pencil wasn't working, maybe I didn't hold it the right way up. There's nothing I can do about that. So we said, well, look, what we'll do, first of all, we'll take the pencil, and we're going to make the pencil from graphite. So even if the lead breaks, the frame of the pencil will still mark the ballot paper. We're going to put a prominent finger, thumb grip on the pencil, so you can't hold it the wrong way around. Furthermore, if you want to, we can give you a scribble pad where after you voted, you can write, for example, a code that you dream up. Let's say it's RNAB. Let's say you want to write 1, 2, 3, because that's the preferences that you wanted to make. And you can show that to the presiding officer and he'll read it back to you. Now, you're not disclosing any confidential information, but that is information that you can take home with you. You can show it to a family member or a friend and they can reassure you, yes, you did make a mark on that scribble pad. You did make RNIB, you did write 1, 2, 3, so the pencil was working. The likelihood of you not marking the ballot paper, therefore, is fairly remote. So that's fairly reassuring. So those are things, some of the things that we've addressed to try and help take away the doubt from the voter's mind.
Do you want to give me a little bit of a demonstration? I see you've got a demonstration unit on the table just in front of us here.
Yeah, we have indeed. First thing we want to do is to give you a total mental picture of what is on the ballot paper. There are three key pieces of information. What you're voting for, so for example, the Northern Ireland Assembly, what system you're using, in this case it's the single transferable vote, so you can vote 1 for your first choice, 2 for your second choice, 3 for your third choice, and so on. And then you want to know how many candidates are there and who are they. So by pressing the function button, it will tell you how many candidates are standing in this election, and it'll read out their names. That's before you do any voting at all. So you now have a mental picture of what's on the ballot paper.
Election of councillors to any town city council. Vote for no more than 3 candidates by putting a cross in the box next to each of your choices. There are 7 candidates in this election. Their names are Adedeji, Lisa, Beatrice, Natalia, Chowdhury, Suresh, Collado, Gino, McNamara, Neve, Owolabi, Bola, and Thomas Briggs, Joe.
So you've got all the information. So now what you now can revert to marking the ballot. So if you, let's say for example, if you go down, there's a column of doorbells. If you just move over toward me, yeah, you feel the column of doorbells. Yep. So press the first doorbell.
Adedeji, Lisa. Oh,
so that's the first count.
Any town, XY95KP, the Pineapple Party.
To the right of that doorbell is a door. So you open the door the whole way back and push the door down on the doorbell.
Adedeji, Lisa. 17 The Parade, Any Town, XY95KP, the Pineapple Party.
What you've done there is you've exposed the only part of the ballot paper where you can make a mark for that candidate. And our advice is to leave the door open, because you might want to remind yourself who you cast your votes for before you complete the exercise and submit your ballot paper.
Okay, so I'm just going to count down. I'm going to open the third door and press it down on the doorbell.
Chowdhury Suresh, with an address in Any Town, the Banana Party.
So Patrick, this all seems pretty clear to me and pretty straightforward. Where are we in terms of getting this used more widely?
Well, the first thing, important thing to say is that this has been piloted by RNIB in Norfolk and the National Council for the Blind in Ireland. And in the RNIB trials, they're going to be reporting next month. And out of 5 devices used, this one came out tops over all the other devices. My understanding is that the RNIB will report that next month. Right now, we have 3 early adopters. We have Bristol City Council, we have Amber Valley Council, and we have Isle of Scilly. And they have placed firm orders for the McGonagall reader, and these will be used probably in the local government elections on the first Thursday in May.
Well, we're always happy to help get the word out here at RNIB Connect Radio. Patrick, let's close this out by sharing your web details where listeners can learn more.
Well, if you just go into www.packflat, that's packflat.com, and you will be able to look for a McGonagall reader.
Well, it's been an honour, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. McGonagall Reader, and that's at, give us that website one more time.
www.packflat.com.
Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Belfast at the Technology for Life Fair. I'm with Louise Humphreys from Real Thing AI. Good to have you back on RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Yeah, I'm having a wonderful day. It's such a busy event and it's going really well.
A lot of the companies are really delighted with the footfall, the number of people that have come through the door, and even the Lord Mayor earlier on.
Yeah, I must admit it's our first event in Northern Ireland, which I'm not proud of, but I'm very grateful to be here, and it's been brilliant. We've met so many people. I've had a queue at the stand for most of the day, so yeah, really good, really glad we came.
I'm glad you came as well. Tell us what's going on with Real Thing AI at the moment, because you guys, of course, make in your pocket and you've got the phone. Just talk us through your range. Just remind listeners what you guys are all about.
Yeah, so we've got two voice-controlled phones that have been adapted to be easier to use for people who are blind and partially sighted, or perhaps have another reason why voice is the preferable way to operate a smartphone. So those two models have been developed in partnership with the RNIB, and things are going really well. We're actually seeing lots and lots of people interested in the product. We're doing great guns here in the UK and also over in the US at the moment. It's an exciting time. We've just recruited our first apprentice through the RNIB and Thomas Pocklington Trust, so we now have Jake with us in partnership and community engagement, and Jake's in his 20s, he has sight loss himself, so that's a brilliant addition to our team to help with engaging with the community. And yeah, things are looking really good right now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Jake? Because I remember we spoke about your recruiting for that position a few months ago now. Yeah. So when did Jake start and what's his role?
So he's been with us for about 3 weeks, and he's been brought in to help us with understanding the needs of the community. So first and foremost, we want to be building out our products based on what people need them to do. So he is responsible for gathering customer feedback, working with community organizations, building out relationships with partners, so that when we do add new features to the products, we know that they're the ones that actually people really need. And it also gives us a route to test new technology as well. So obviously Jake himself can help us with testing, but we're building out a customer reference group to help us with validating truly that we're getting it right. We've got some new features that we're going to be launching in the next couple of months. So we're upgrading our magnifier with OCR to be a fully voice controlled solution, and one that's perhaps a little bit more like what we're now seeing Be My Eyes and other solutions bring on board, where you can capture an image and interrogate that image through voice, asking questions of it. So that's really exciting that we're bringing those features. We're about to add WhatsApp onto the phone, which is desperately needed for the UK market. And yeah, we're on a road now to really starting to ramp up innovation with the product. So it's good.
It's quite a busy space, isn't it? Because I remember there was a time when there weren't really many options available in this kind of, I don't know how you would classify it, but you know, the kind of the easier to use smartphone, I guess, is how I would describe it. So for some folk, a full Android experience is overwhelming, it's difficult, it can be a steep learning curve, right? And sometimes you're learning to use these devices at a time in your life when perhaps your eyesight has changed quite suddenly, and you're dealing with a lot at that time. So now we've got quite a few options. What's kind of keeping you guys separate from the rest of the pack? Yeah. What do you think sort of unique about...
Yeah, look, I'm really passionate about the customer service that we offer. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really important. So it's not just the phone that you're buying from us. It's the fact that you are buying into unlimited support, and the idea that people can just call up our helpline at any time and ask a question or get help with getting set up. And it's not just the end user, it's the loved ones, the broader support network that we happy to help. I think that's everything. It's as important as the physical product, because obviously if you walk into a mainstream technology store, you'll walk out with a box in your bag, but have you got any wraparound care? What does that warranty period look like? What does that trial period look like? So obviously we offer everyone 2 months where they can try out the products, and if it's right for them, we'll, you know, happily support them for as long as they have the phone with us. But if it's not right, they can send it back. So that, I think that gives people a lot of confidence, especially like you said, if they've not tried something like this before, or maybe it's a new situation that they're having to come to terms with. So yeah, that's really where I see us continuing to stand out, that we do that not just in the UK but in the US as well. In the US we've now got 2 ladies working full-time in customer support, and again both of them have come from the sight loss community, and they can really empathize with the people that are choosing our product because they're part of the community themselves.
Well, rarely does a day go by when I don't hear about somebody who's, you know, losing their eyesight and they switch on, you know, VoiceOver or TalkBack, and they're just bewildered. They just can't cope with it. So we definitely need products like this backed up, like you say, with that first-class support as well. So Louise Humphreys, Country Manager with Real Thing AI. Thanks for joining us again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dave.
My name's Karen Kennedy. We've come up the road today from Armagh, and we really came today just to get a wee bit more knowledge on devices and accessibility features that could maybe make the girls' life a wee bit easier in school.
So who's with you today, Karen?
I have my daughter, Charlotte Kennedy, and my niece, Katie Mallon, and my sister's with me as well, Helen.
So it's a bit of a girls' day out, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
It's turned into a girls' day out. We're going to have to go for dinner.
Excellent. And so what have we all found? What have you been to check out in the exhibition?
Well, we found we've got a new... We didn't know, but the Libraries NIE have a brilliant site online where we can actually download ebooks, which was brilliant to know that. And we have also the EAs.
The books that we can access, the
books in a larger font, which is brilliant as well for the girls, because I know as they start to read novels, it's called RNIB Bookshare, but as they start to read novels, a lot of the time the font's too small for them and they're put off by them right away. So this is nice that they can go on and actually get a book in the font that they need, which is lovely. And we also looked a little bit at the little pen readers, where we can take a photo of text and it'll read it back to them, which is pretty cool as well. And like, we can definitely see where it would make life maybe a wee bit easier in years to come when they're out and about on their own, you know.
What was your favourite part, girls? Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Has it been fun? What was the most fun part?
Probably the story.
The story.
The guide dogs, wasn't it?
Little smells for each part of the story. So it was actually the Gruffalo. So the Gruffalo smelled very bad, didn't he, girls?
Oh no.
Yeah, it was pretty stinky, to be honest. And then different parts, the good parts of the book smelled lovely, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you like stories?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you're really keen to find lots of ways to get more stories.
Yes. Definitely.
Brilliant. Well, that's a good thing. I remember I've got a little boy at home, and I always used to love reading the bedtime story with him. His eyes work perfectly well. Mine don't, so I always used to read the story in Braille to him. So I was reading with my fingers.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to do that like all other mums and dads want to be able to do that, right?
Yes.
So very important to find different ways to read. So brilliant. It's been a worthwhile visit then.
It really has. It's very eye-opening, yeah.
It's been brilliant. And it's also brilliant that it's on until 7 o'clock. So we were able to come up after school today, and the girls have got a brilliant day out and a good opportunity to see what's about, haven't you?
Yes.
So have you been to school today?
Yes.
Wow. So you went to school and have you had any tea yet?
No.
That's
no.
That's, is there? Okay. I won't keep you from your tea. I bet you're super hungry. All right.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to meet you all, and thank you so much for visiting us. And thank you for being on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That's it. Thank you so much for your company as ever. Do tune in next time. We're here each and every week. And if you like what you hear, do tell a friend, share it. If you'd like to get in contact, it's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We're always thrilled to hear from you. A good old-fashioned email or even a voice note. Very, very welcome. Alrighty, that's it from myself, Dave Williams, Hubert Pavarkovich, Callum Stoneman, and the rest of the Tech Talk team. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.